Hi, you have just clicked on episode 14 of Sweepers and Reapers. I'm Rachel.
I'm Angel.
And we are back at it again with the white vans. That meme, I don't get it. Like, I don't get why I love it so much. But it was just iconic. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I thought you were about to say, I don't get it, and I would have to explain to you. Like, let me break it down.
No, I get it. I just, like, I love it so much, but I don't get why I love it so much. But when it came out, literally, me, I think it was while I was at Disney. I don't remember. I think it was in 2016, but damn Daniel, fucking iconic.
Yeah, take me back. I was going to say, like, what, 2015 or 2016?
Yeah, literally, 2015 was a pretty great year for me. I was heavily involved in the punk scene, so, you know.
I thought you were going to say I was heavily involved in my TCP application process.
Oh, no, that only took me. It's funny how easily I got into the Disney College program because so many other people struggle. And I'm not trying to say that to brag. Like, I didn't have a lot of college credits under my belt. I guess I had good extracurriculars, but I still don't know why they accepted me to this day. Thanks, I don't know why.
I just want to go on the record and say that Rachel got into her DCP, like she got her acceptance letter on my birthday, the birthday that I spent in Disney World, my first time being at Disney in years. So do with that what you will.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That was a great email to wake up to because I had been waking up and like checking my email every single day. So the fact that I got my acceptance on your birthday was like kind of fucking crazy, and we got to meet because of it. So in person, that is.
Yeah. I'm just glad, you know, you weren't an old man that had tricked me for however many years.
Dude, I would have had to have fucking played the shit out of you. Unfortunately, I mean, my 13-year-old internet presence could not be faked. And also, while we're here, I've got my window open, so say hi to them geese.
Their presence cannot, what did you say, be replaced? Be faked?
Oh, I said my 13-year-old internet presence, like, no one could have faked that. That was okay. Real.
Yeah, and so if you hear the geese, what I'm saying is, like, that's not fake. That's
no,
all
those
real.
Are real geese, yeah. I mean, this time of year, they're just kind of everywhere. And we also have a pool in the backyard that we have. Honestly, it's the most adorable thing ever. It's a duck couple. I've posted it on my Instagram. It's a mallard and a lady duck. And they come in our pool, like, literally every single morning. And they take a bath. They just have chill time. They're not social distancing, so but there's a lot of wildlife in my area, and my bedroom gets hot as fuck in general, so I have the window open. Angel's hosting this episode, so that shouldn't really be a problem. I will edit out most animal noises, but disclaimer, I know that that's probably unprofessional, but we're not professionals, so it's fine.
Yeah, a second ago, we were, you know, discussing before we started recording, and I asked her if she was playing Animal Crossing, because I heard beautiful nature noises. And she's like, no.
Honestly, no. I wanted to be like, Angel, why would I be playing Animal Crossing, like, during the podcast? Who do you think I am?
Rachel, I could totally see you, like, low-key forgetting to mute it, and I'm in the middle of talking, and you're like, what? I'm like, did you just shoot a balloon out of the sky? What's happening?
I tend to lose my train of thought organically, so you can count on me for that.
All right, so today I am going to tell you all about Missy Bevers. Does that name, I always ask, does it ring any bells? So I'll go with that again. Does it ring any bells for you, Rachel?
So I've listened to like a podcast episode about this like forever ago.
Oh no.
But I don't remember, like, I couldn't tell you. And like, I know do you know what I mean? I listen to a lot of crime podcasts, so it's like there's some cases that I know I've probably, you know, listen to on my commute to work one day or something, but I could not tell you anything. I know it's a lady.
All right, I have a feeling when I get into the details of this, it's all going to come back to you in vivid color. But until then, Missy Bevers is actually Terry Bevers, but she went by Missy, so we're going to call her Missy. She was a 45-year-old mother of three from Texas, and she was a fitness instructor. So that's that on that. That's what I have on her.
And that's the tea.
That's it. Goodbye, guys.
Great episode.
No, I know.
Worth the wait, really.
I'm so researched. So on April 18th, 2016, Missy had an early morning gladiator fitness class scheduled at the Creekside Church of Christ in Midlothian?
Texas.
Midlothian. Okay. Midlothian, Texas.
Dude, I know this one.
Okay. Bye.
No. Tell me. I mean, I don't know the details, but as soon as I remember this, yes. The scene is in my brain.
Yeah. So I really wanted to do this case because of all of the theories and pathways that you can go down.
Can I say something before you continue? My cousin's middle name is Pathways.
Wow.
Yep.
Which one?
Zeke.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. All right. Shout out Zeke. But yeah, I know that you love like weird theories and different rabbit holes to go down about cases. So I have a feeling you're going to have a fun time today. That's for sure.
I'm really already enjoying having my memory refreshed so I can go down some rabbit holes. Call me the white rabbit, baby. Do you ever say something and hate yourself?
I mean, all the time. And I just love how, like, I'm giggling. And immediately what I have in my notes, the next point is just her body was discovered.
Dude, that is a fucking jump.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so she's got this. I'm guessing she had to get up really early.
Yes.
And this was like a regular thing, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, she's a fitness instructor. So the idea that I got is this isn't her first rodeo. She teaches classes all the time.
Texas flair there. Okay.
It always comes back to Texas for us. And I don't know why.
I had a roommate. Sorry, continue. I just totally cut you off.
I was going to say, neither of us have roots there, but you have your roommate story. So go for it.
No, my roommate from my Disney college program, Lena, she was from Texas and she like rodeos were a thing and she told me about them. That's all I was going to say. Like, there's actual rodeos. I don't know. I'm a fucking Yankee. I don't like, I didn't know. I mean, I guess you do. I did know that rodeos were a thing, but she was like telling us about the rodeos and like all the weird things they do, and I was like, cool.
Yeah, I was been so to a pointless.
Like, that commentary was not necessary.
Also, I'm so like,
we're definitely a little rusty, so forgive us because we suck.
You can totally leave this in. I hate myself because you're like, oh, the Texas flair, completely forgetting that like 30 seconds ago I said that this case isn't from Texas. So is that why you said that?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Because you said this wasn't her first rodeo, and I was like, oh, Texas.
I was just using the old saying. I completely forgot this was Texas.
And that's why I brought up my roommate, because I was like, my roommate was from Texas, and she went to rodeos.
Yeah, I was just saying it wasn't her first rodeo, because that's like, I don't think, I was going to say it's cool. It's not a cool thing to say, but you know, like.
Boomer,
you know, saying, but it works perfectly. Please don't give me credit for tying that in because it was purely coincidental.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like I hate this that my next bullet point is literally her body was discovered. I feel like we need like a lull of like quiet.
I know, like moment of silence. That doesn't make sense though. I guess like if she was murdered, you know, no one's gonna find her until the class starts.
Yeah. So her body was discovered at the church when her students began arriving for the class. So she was found lying on the floor, unresponsive, with multiple puncture wounds in her head and chest. She was the only thing seemingly bothered in the church, and nothing had been taken.
Which is interesting to think about. And number one, it helps you tell motive. But number two, like, churches have so much valuable shit in general. So that's kind of nuts that, like, literally nothing was taken.
Yeah, so even if it were, like, a super old school church, there would have been something of some kind of value.
100%. Definitely. Yeah. When I went to Catholic school, it was a very old school with, you know, an equally as old chapel that we would go to mass in. And, like, I could probably name five things, you know, off the top of my head that you could sell for a decent amount of money in that church. Even if it's just, like, you know, the son's so fucked. But even if it's just stealing a crucifix and taking it to a pawn shop for its, like, worth in gold or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Churches, they don't be skimping on their shit.
So, TM. So that's literally, like, super cut and dry, right? You might be wondering, okay, that's that, Angel. What is so interesting about this case? Well, the suspect was caught on security cameras inside of the church.
Right. I think, yeah, I remember this part. And again, you know, that would make sense. Modern church security cameras. Remind me what this person was doing on the cameras and wearing, because I definitely don't remember that.
As soon as I say it, it's gonna click. Well, the suspect was seen walking through the halls wearing a full SWAT team type of outfit, full gear. He was seen walking around, swinging around something that resembled a hammer.
Oh, I don't remember that. So he would have looked, like, official in a way.
Yes, definitely. To the untrained eye. And I'll get to
that. And obviously, you know, on a shitty security camera too, it's probably hard to tell.
Yeah. So I don't know if SWAT teams are a thing in other countries. So just very quickly, if you aren't familiar with the term, it stands for Special Weapons and Tactics, and it's an elite team of law enforcement officers who are trained in special military tactics, and they do sometimes use military equipment as well. They are used in, like, hostage-style situations, or sometimes to just obtain a really dangerous criminal that's hiding out. They will go, like, bust down a door. It's, like, a multiple, like, it's, like, a whole swarm of people who are, like, busting in doors and windows and going in to get the target. So, I do have a timeline, which is very interesting, when you get further into the case and you realize, like, what exactly this timeline means. I know that sounds silly, but researching this and immediately being given the timeline, I'm like, okay, but really hearing everything and seeing how fast it all played out is kind of crazy. So the suspect arrives and the time is unknown when that happened.
So do we know what time she would get there regularly? Do you have that?
So, I don't have that, but I do have what time she got there that morning.
Okay.
So, we have no idea when the suspect initially arrived, but they are first captured on the surveillance cameras at 3:50 a.m.
Jesus. No pun intended.
At 4:16 a.m., Missy is seen pulling into the church parking lot, and she parks. Enters the church building.
Okay, sounds pretty normal. And there's no, she probably was appearing normal on the cameras, not seeming distressed, I'm guessing, in any way.
Yeah, she was just pulling up, you know, about to get ready for a class, which is probably the creepiest, I don't want to say it's the creepiest thing about this whole thing, but, like,
there's always just something like haunting about cases where there's security footage of the victim before they die, like, because oftentimes they don't know what's about to happen to them, you know? Mm-hmm. Or even if they do, I don't know. It's just so scary. And I don't, like, for example, the, are you familiar with Israel Keyes? Do you know who that is?
No. Who is that?
He was, I would like to do an episode on him eventually, but he was this creepy ass serial killer guy who would fly across the country, bury kill kits, and then come back to them within like 2 or 3 years and, you know, murder people based on like convenience and location to these kill kits.
I've heard of him, but I just didn't know his name.
So his last victim, the one that got him caught, there's security footage of him abducting her. And it's literally the most, like, it gives me the heebs. That's the easiest way to say it. It's the most, like, just uncomfortable thing to watch when you know what happens. So I think that cases that have that are always creepier.
Yeah, and just, like, the idea of this person, even without the footage, like, she's just pulling into a parking lot.
Literally going to work.
Yeah. Also, I don't know, because, like, you grew up in Catholic school. I didn't. Churches, especially the concept of, like, entering a church by myself at 4 o'clock in the morning, expecting it to be empty, that gives me the heebs.
So, in general, they're pretty, like, secure places for the most part. Like, they, certain people would have keys. So, like, someone like Missy would have a key. But that is a very, like, feel how you do about religion. A church at 4 in the morning, 100% should be a safe place. Like, I don't know. Basically, people who are, like, high up in church leadership or, like, I don't know, work there, that kind of thing, they would have a key. But otherwise, like, you would probably have to break in to get in. And I don't know how common church break-ins are. So it should have been a safe place for her to be, 100%. I think I said that verbatim already, but
yeah, but like, I don't know if this is just me watching too many TV shows and movies as a child.
Yes.
No, but reading this about this case initially, I was always under the impression that churches were unlocked at night. Because people go in at night when they, like, homeless people, or, like, you need to pray, you immediately, like, you just need that feeling of church while you pray. I thought the doors were always open. So the concept of, like, later on I'll get into how this person got in, like, the place was locked. That blew my mind.
No, so especially if it's, like, a freestanding church like that, it's like a school. Like, it gets locked up and... there was a church in a friend of mine from high school's neighborhood, and there would be like a cleaning crew there every night and shit like that. But other than that, like, no one's there at night. It's locked. You can't get in.
So 4:16, she's seen pulling up and entering the church. The next timestamp we have is around 5 a.m. The first 911 calls start to come in from her students who had just gotten to the church and discovered her body. So they call, and obviously they report that Missy's body has been found unresponsive.
God, I can't imagine, like, just, I mean, obviously I can't imagine going to work and getting murdered. But I also can't imagine thinking you're going to a regular workout class like you always do and finding that. Like, that's PTSD right there.
Yeah, for sure. So the paramedics arrive and declare her dead on the scene. And so obviously the idea here is that this person who was wearing the SWAT team gear is the perpetrator.
Yeah. I mean, already right out the gate, it doesn't seem like it could be anyone else.
Yeah, so the building was examined after this took place, and they found that a side door had been broken in through. So that's how this person got in. And this is where I had the revelation of, like, oh, churches aren't unlocked.
No, they locked them up. Crazy.
And Rachel, 3 years later, is it 3 years? Math. Hold on. 2016? 4 years later. 4 years later, that is all we know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I hate that.
So more about the apparent perpetrator, though. A lot of people who have seen the footage agree that the gear that this person is wearing isn't actually legit SWAT team gear. So they say the outfit is either fake or a combination of various secondhand items that this person pieced together, possibly pieced together with costume pieces as well.
So they're a fucking poser. Wow. Yes.
A lot of people think that the helmet the person is seen wearing is definitely a costume piece because of how shiny it appears on camera.
Shiny.
Yeah. So again, I don't know why I'm saying again. I haven't said it. I'm not familiar with SWAT team gear. I've never seen a piece of it in real life. So I couldn't really tell you, but I guess the idea is that real, authentic gear isn't going to have like a shiny or a plasticky glare to it.
I think I've seen a SWAT team like maybe once. I don't know.
Do tell. When?
Well, sometimes they'll be at like events and stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Not a lot, but I feel like I've seen them before. And honestly, when you like, the only thing I can picture in my head is like the outfits, like the clothes. And I feel like it's just a lot of like Kevlar and it's like navy blue, you know?
Yeah. So
that's interesting. I didn't know that they weren't shiny.
I was hoping for a really interesting story where you were like, yeah, the SWAT team, you know, I just watched them bust into my neighbor's house.
I actually went to high school with a kid whose dad was like in the SWAT team, or he was like the head of the SWAT team for the county. I don't really know. I actually ended up working with his brother at my last job too, like really weird coincidence. So yeah, no, I don't have an interesting story other than I've heard of like, we've had some, I don't know, I listen to Police Scanners sometimes.
Me too.
And we've had some like, I only listen to Police Scanners when I know there's something going on, or like one time a couple months back there was like a shit ton of sirens in my neighborhood, so at that point I'm listening to the fucking Police Scanner. Which I feel like everyone knows this, but if you don't, hi, you can download a Police Scanner app and listen to your local Police Scanners if you need to or want to. Yeah, I only listen to them when I know there's something going on, but I've also like been on Twitter and seen like Baltimore County Police tweet some shit and be like, ooh, sounds juicy. I don't know. I'm stupid.
No, one of my, I guess you could call it an elderly trait of mine, is I'll randomly, just without seeing anything or hearing anything that would make me want to, I'll just download one and be like, what's going on? But for anyone who's interested and who's going to go download a Police Scanner now because of us, I just feel like I need to say they use, is it like K, I don't want to say K10 or like randomly, like I don't know what it's called. Some sort of like letter, number, the name of this. What am I getting at? They use code. So they'll be like, yes, we have a 109 on this 605.
Oh, yeah.
Also, don't look up those codes because I don't know them off the top of my head. And that probably is not a real thing, or if it is, it doesn't make sense. But yeah, so good Police Scanner apps will have the little dictionary at the bottom. And yeah, that's our tangent about Police Scanners.
It's not Sweepers and Reapers if we don't tangent at least once.
So other than the helmet thing, another another important thing to note is that we don't know if this person is male or female. So I called him he earlier, and as soon as I did it, I realized like, oh, but yeah, we don't know if this person was a male or a female.
I think most people would probably assume that it's a male. Mm-hmm. Just because, what am I looking for? I guess statistically speaking, like, women killers don't act like that. At least from what I feel like I've seen of women killers, they don't lie in wait like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just, again, coming back to the footage, I watched little bits and pieces of it last night. I don't like the mental image of this dude just traipsing around in SWAT team gear, waiting with a hammer-like thing in his hand. It's gross. It's creepy.
Yeah. I cannot imagine the terror that she probably felt when she came face to face with that person.
So as for, like, you know, people talking about the authenticity of the gear this person is wearing, this is all pieced together from the footage that we do have. The police department has more, but not everything has been released. And one of my sources so lovingly explained why this is a thing. And if you don't know, Rachel, or people listening, it's typically because the police like to keep certain things away from the public to avoid people coming to them with false confessions. So they like to keep some things under wraps in hopes that someone who does come forward and confesses will come forward with something that isn't details that were released to the public. So something that they can kind of shoe in on and be like, okay, only the police and you know what you're talking about. So clearly that gives, you know, some validity to the confession.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty standard across the board in most investigations. There are certain things that are okay being released to the public and, like, help, but then there's other things that, you know, like you said, encourage false confessions.
Coming back to how the whole footage thing is really creepy, basically what I just explained probably leads to the fact that there is a very high possibility that the police actually have footage of Missy being murdered. When you look at the footage and you think about the logistics of, like, he's seen all over the church, yeah, they most likely have that, which is crazy to think about.
I hate that they have that and this piece of shit is still out there. Like, I think that's the worst part of everything. Like, this motherfucker 100% knew what they were doing in the outfit.
As far as the weapon and how it looks like a hammer, nothing official has actually been released on the weapon other than law enforcement saying that puncture wounds were present to Missy's head and chest, which make it very possible that they're being like this, you know, like I said, in hopes that the murderer will come forward and they'll be able to determine, goodness gracious, that this person has a specific detail about the actual murder weapon. While researching this case, I immediately heard the thing about the person walking around and swinging around something that resembled a hammer, and then heard the thing about puncture wounds to the head and chest. And my immediate assumption was that, you know, the murder weapon was
like the claw end of a hammer.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it goes without saying, but you can really mess someone up with a hammer.
Either end. Yeah.
And especially given the description puncture wounds, but I just feel like it's really important to note that nothing specifically has been confirmed officially about the murder weapon.
Good to note.
So more about what was caught on surveillance. From the videos, they were actually able to get a height estimate for the perpetrator or assumed perpetrator. This person is approximately around 5'8". And that's an estimate from using the vertical distance from the floor to the top of the headwear. Other sources estimate them to be anywhere from 5'2 to 5'7, just because the estimate thing can be kind of rough, I guess. And I don't know, I kind of agree with that just because, like, I don't work for whoever does these estimates, so I don't know what kind of software is being used, but I feel like it, with it being surveillance camera videos, it might be something that can easily be skewed just based off of how the cameras are positioned and angled, you know?
Yeah, and I guess maybe they could figure it out if there's something, like, physical on the church wall they could measure, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works either.
The suspect is sometimes also speculated to be on the heavier side due to the footage, but that could easily be because of all the padding and the stuff from the SWAT team gear.
Right, that's definitely, like, I don't know, costume or not, it's probably heavy.
So a very interesting thing that was caught on surveillance is that this alleged perpetrator has a very unique way of walking. They appear to be walking in a way where their feet are turned outward away from their body as they walk.
What is that called? Because I know the opposite is being pigeon-toed. Is there a name for that?
I have no idea, but it creeped me out thinking about, like, this person. No offense if you walk like that, but, like, you obviously aren't, I hope you aren't hiding out in churches and killing people. So you're written off the creepy list. I'm just saying, with the circumstances here, I don't like it.
I guess, yeah. When you take into account that this person is a murderer, walking into church alone at 3 a.m. and in full SWAT gear and then has, like, this weird mannerism, I yes. think that is a very creepy melting pot.
Yes, that is exactly what I was getting at. So this walking thing is seen more predominantly on their right foot, and they swing their feet wide when they walk. Some people actually believe that in certain shots you can see that this person might actually have an artificial leg.
Wow. Okay. That's really weird that they can, like, tell that from a video, especially in full SWAT gear.
So, like, with this case, and again, so many pathways to go down in a second, you're looking at surveillance video. It's not the crappiest video quality, but it's not like it was shot on an iPhone 11 with cinematography included. So it's a lot of observation and being like, oh, I think I saw this in the glimpse of the light. And that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Okay.
Other than the videos from the church of this person, police actually have videos of a suspicious vehicle driving around a nearby business in the early hours of the morning that Missy was killed. A 2010 to 2012 Nissan Altima was seen driving around a parking lot of a closed business. The driver of this car turned the lights on and off multiple times, parked and sat there for a little bit, and then drove off.
Could they just have been smoking weed?
Yes. So, in my notes, I just have my own little opinions here. Other than that, that is a very good and valid point for Rachel to make.
Well, also, like, what constitutes a suspicious vehicle? Just the behavior? Because, like, what is a suspicious vehicle? Like, is that a make and model? Like, what? I never understand when they say that. Like, I guess it just means how the person who's driving it is acting, what they're doing with it.
Other than the business being closed and it being early hours of the morning, I think what makes this the most suspicious is the fact that this person is driving around an empty parking lot, turning their car lights on and off.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense. It also, I feel like, could be explained away. Like, I don't know. I could see either side of that.
Yeah, my research didn't tell me if it were the exterior car lights or inside of the car, which I feel like makes a world of difference. And if it were the inside of the car.
Oh, like your dome light or something. Yeah.
Rachel, like, maybe you dropped something. Like, maybe it's just someone trying to smoke weed in a parking lot and they keep dropping stuff and they're like, you know. Or it, like, I pictured the outside car lights.
That just is late to be smoking weed in a parking lot for, yeah. Like, you know, I feel like 3 a.m. is like pushing it.
Yeah, but the person was seen on the church cameras at 3:50. So like they're saying this was a couple hours before she was killed. So that could lead anywhere from like I would estimate even like 1 to 2 a.m., you know?
Yeah, it just makes me wonder like if that is the same person, like what are they doing? Just like gearing up to be a murderer? Like I wouldn't, I guess I'm not saying they couldn't be connected. If there's a connection, I wonder like how do they make sense of that?
I also am just thinking of if it weren't that person, imagine you see your car on the news and you're like, bro, I was just having an emotional breakdown in the nearby parking lot. Like I was just driving, doing my lights because I was crying.
What if you see your car on the news? And you're like a teenager and you snuck out of your house with your car and then your mom sees you on the news and you get grounded.
Or like in really worst case scenario, your mom's like, dude, like, did you sneak into a church and kill somebody?
You're like, no, mom.
What were you doing? And then you have to be like, mom, I was smoking weed in the car. God, leave me alone. So in my notes, I just have my own little opinion. Basically, I believe if this were, in fact, Missy's killer, I think that maybe this was some sort of weird, nervous type of behavior. Like, they're driving around aimlessly thinking about what they're about to do, how they're going to do it, if they're going to be able to pull it off, etc. And the whole turning the lights on and off thing seems like some sort of nervous, panicked action. Like they're either trying to contain their nerves, or I really hate to say it, but maybe contain their excitement.
I don't know. I guess it's hard for me to like theorize because I feel like they're not connected. But if they are, it was probably some like weird, yeah, preparation thing. Because the way I see it, this person was obviously prepared and probably knew her.
Yeah, so I probably should have looked up how small this town was. And that could also lead into how likely it was for this car to be connected or not connected, you know? If it was a really, really, really small town, it would make sense for them to be like, oh, this is super suspicious. But if it were a bigger town, I would be like, oh, okay. Someone is being weird in the parking lot that has nothing to do with this, you know?
So I, as you were talking, I Googled the population.
Love that for us. Thank you.
As of 2018, it was 27,049. So pretty small.
Okay. So you guys do with that what you will. Comment on our Instagram post. Say thank you, Rachel, with a cute little emoji.
You're welcome.
There is a lot of speculation online about the gender of the suspect because they are completely covered in the videos, but it's all really loose speculation. Getting into this, my blood has already started to boil as my eyes are skimming my notes. But people speculate that this person is a female because they're walking in a feminine way.
How is the foot swinging wide? How, like, what makes that feminine?
I don't know. I literally have...
I didn't know that. Like, what? What if I was, like, walking pigeon-toed is, like, really masculine? So, like, I don't know. That doesn't... Is that medically true? Because if it's medically true, I'll eat crow. But I don't feel like that's medically true.
And I even have in my notes, in parentheses, the suspect is walking in a feminine way, parentheses, which is stupid.
It is stupid. Because, like, what does that even mean? Like, I would love to talk to someone and hear what, like, how they say that that is a feminine way to walk. You know? Yeah. I don't know. To me, honestly, that, like, men don't come for me, but it seems like a super like toxic masculinity thing to dress up as a SWAT person and break into a church in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I just I don't know.
That screams masculine energy to me.
Which, I mean, is a good, like, another theory we could go down is the fact that maybe this person dressed this way to throw people off and to make them think, oh, a woman is never going to dress this way and break into a church and commit a crime against another woman and, like, bludgeon them, allegedly, with this hammer thing, you know? So, there's also that.
I know, and that level of organization, it would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently people think this person is walking in a feminine way. I watched the footage. It's not like I don't get that from them. And this is where I need to go down off a tangent and talk about something similar that's happened in my life. If you don't know, Rachel knows, but I do speech and debate. I'm in college. I compete. I used to compete on my school's speech.
I dropped out of college, never did any extracurriculars in college. Buck with me.
Yeah, so I am currently in the process of transferring to a new university and getting on their team. Anyway, that's besides the point. When I was competing for my old school, I went to my first ever tournament, because we compete and it's a thing, public speaking. It was actually a mock tournament, which was really cool, and they set it up like it was a real tournament just for new people to get what the vibe was without it actually being real, which was neat. And I participated in that. When you compete in speech, you get like this little sheet of paper at the end called a ballot where judges will tell you everything they liked about you and everything they didn't like about you, as in, you know, what you're saying and how you're speaking. One of my very first ballots, this person, I believe it was a man, wrote, one of the very few things he wrote was just a bullet point that said, feminine, overly feminine movements, or something of the sort.
What the fuck?
And I just, like, it's been, like, a year and a half. It still bothers me to this day. I'm like, what was I doing? What happened?
What the fuck?
And upon asking, you know,
as if that's something to fucking penalize someone for. Feminine movements. Get the fuck out of here. I'm mad for you.
Which, everybody I talked to about it, they were like, oh, did you play with your hair? And I'm, because they were like, that's the only thing I can think. Did you put your hand on your hip? And I was like, no. I didn't do that, because I would know if I did that. Like, I'm very hyper aware, especially at that point. I was so nervous about doing speech stuff. I wasn't up there playing with my hair and, like, prancing around. I don't know. I'm still mad.
Me too.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's stupid. I didn't get anything from the suspect that was like, oh, my gosh, she's, like, doing a hair flip down the hallway. No. She's, like, hands on both hips, strutting. No. Absolutely nothing like that. And that's the only thing. If I watched the footage and I saw something like that, I would be like, okay, that makes sense for you to say she's walking in a feminine way, if we're really going to be very stereotypical in that sense.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, I mean, I don't know how heavy, like, SWAT gear is, but I imagine it's not light. And I would also think that you would need to, like, exercise, you know, work out, do things in the SWAT gear to be adjusted to it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go along with, this is not a real SWAT person. This is, like, costume gear, whatever. They might not, like, it just seems odd to me that they would be able to do quote unquote feminine movements, or movements where you would be able to really tell their gender. Because they're probably not, they don't have a full range of motion, and they're just walking. Exactly. So that whole thing is very, like, weird to me. I don't know how, I mean, you know, statistically speaking, men are more likely to commit crimes like this. But also, I haven't seen the footage, but I'm sure you did a fine job describing it. And I don't see any, you know, gender markers there.
Rachel, I feel like you're gonna lose it over this next thing that leads people to think that this person
is... Don't do it to me. Don't do it to me.
People think this person is a female because their butt looks big.
Dude, men don't have big asses, like, ever. No person that identifies as a man has ever had a big ass.
It's all Hank Hill. It's
literally every single man in the world has a Hank Hill ass, and every single woman in the world has a Megan Thee Stallion ass. It's just logic.
It's biology.
Logic. that's really? Fucking ridiculous. Has no one ever seen Chris Evans? Like, that man is fucking double cheeked up on a Tuesday for no reason. So, bye.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna love that one. If anyone couldn't tell, our joking about Hank Hill and whatnot, we're being
Tom Holland has a nice butt too. Avenger butts.
It's all that exercise. All the exercise needed to probably carry full tactile gear if this was in fact real secondhand SWAT team gear.
Right. I mean, put me on, man. Like, I will talk to you about how Tom Holland had to wear a thong in the Spider-Man suit.
So the footage captured this person walking aimlessly around the church and opening up random doors. So this is something I didn't describe earlier, and Rachel even said I did a great job at describing what was happening. So even more detail. Not only are they walking around, they're opening up random doors in the church, but they opened some, not all, and there isn't really, from what I saw, a method to their madness. They are just haphazardly opening doors, and I really hate to word it this way, but they're not doing it in a way that's like some serious, scary, I'm gonna get you type of vibe, you know? It looks as if they're bored and waiting for something.
Very aimless.
Yeah. I don't really think they were checking for anyone because, like, I'm just gonna put it out here like this. If you were walking around this church and checking to see if anyone was there, upon finding someone, how do you explain yourself walking around in SWAT team equipment, toting around a hammer thing, unless the idea there is that you're going to kill whoever you find regardless? And I think in a state like Texas, I hate to be super stereotypical here, but if you are doing that to check and, like, kill whoever you happen upon, you need to be checking all the rooms, and you need to be a little bit more quick about it, because people in Texas have guns, and they carry them on them.
Yeah.
That's that on that. That's the way Sue sees it, or whatever. I haven't watched Glee in a long time.
I love Glee. I love Jesse St. James. I would fucking die for him. I know he's terrible, but I would still die for him.
I haven't gotten past, like, I would say probably beginning of season 3. So I have no idea who that is.
He's in season 1, honey. Jonathan Groff.
Who is he? The
Jesse
teacher?
St. James? No, Jesse St. James is the guy from Vocal Adrenaline who dates Rachel. And I've literally been like, I love watching Glee because Jonathan Groff says my name all the time, and it's the best thing ever.
Okay, then maybe I'm not as far into Glee as I thought I was.
No, he's literally in the first season.
Is he in, like, okay, I don't know.
He's literally, like, halfway through the first season.
We'll talk about this later. It's been a while. So there are a lot of theories about this case, as such crops up when nothing has been done. It's a cold case, and you have footage of who, like, I would say killed Missy.
Right. If someone else killed her, we would have seen
someone
else on the footage, but there's no one else.
If someone else killed her, it would be a really weird, like, breakthrough.
It's just not possible. Yeah. I don't see how that would be possible.
Yeah, I didn't really entertain that. I don't think a lot of people on the internet really entertain that idea either, just because it's really, really outlandish. But, right. You know. So, the first theory is basically that it was a burglary that she happened upon. But that doesn't really make sense. Like, that one doesn't have a lot of detail or anything I can go into, other than this person was about to rob the church. She walked in on them robbing the church, and he or she killed her and fled, which doesn't really make sense because this person didn't bring anything in with them to collect items they were stealing. And also, why are you walking around? Why are you just walking the halls? What are you doing?
Well, so. Right. And also, you told me, you said nothing was taken, right? I think that's the main point, is that, like, there's so much valuable stuff that could have been taken that just wasn't. And a lot of churches, especially ones out here near me, have preschools in them and a lot of, like, group rooms and stuff like that, where there's definitely a lot of stuff that could be taken. So, again, that theory, I feel like, doesn't even hold any weight.
Yeah. So, the next theory is just that it wasn't a burglary, and the reasons why that kind of debunk that. So, basically, like I said earlier, the idea is that the behavior of what this person did isn't what someone who's typically burglarizing a place does. You aren't going to aimlessly walk around and haphazardly open doors, especially if you are breaking into the place with the intent to literally rob it.
Yeah, you're going to get in and get out.
Yeah. So the whole door opening thing in reference to it being a robbery only makes sense if they were quickly checking all of the rooms for the sake of seeing someone, seeing if they could quietly and quickly rob the place without interference from another human. But I don't know, like I said earlier.
The thing is, there's going to be cash in a church and there's probably going to be checks in a church, at least from what I remember. So please don't rob churches. But to me, if you're trying to rob the place, you're on a mission.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to be looking for money, which, you know, like, there's a safe somewhere in the church. So, yeah. And if you're trying to rob the place, like, you might want to look around the rooms and see if there's anything worth taking. There's probably a TV, you know, somewhere. So it's just interesting that some people theorize that when I can, you know, like, the two of us can look at everything and see it completely differently for obvious reasons.
So at best, maybe it was a staged robbery. Maybe the person knew that the church had cameras, and I don't know, like, it seems kind of like a really messy way to try to make people think, in the very beginning at least, it was a robbery that Missy walked in on.
Right.
So the whole, like, SWAT team thing, it makes sense if you go with the assumption that a random person is going to pass by the church and think it was actually a legitimate SWAT team member trying to gain access to the church.
Okay.
So that could stop people from being like, oh, hey, some random person is prying a door off of the church on so-and-so street.
The only flaw is that SWAT isn't usually rogue like that.
Also, in my notes, I said, yeah, but why would he be alone?
Right, yeah. The SWAT's never going to be alone. They're not, like, they're a cop, but not really, so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they are a cop or what. I don't know how that works, but I'm going to shut up now.
I think they are, but they're a team of elite cops. So they, I don't know. I watch TV and movies, Dog the Bounty Hunter. I've never, like, it just doesn't make sense. And so in my notes, I have, you know, even with going with that whole thought, why would he be alone? And I say that, but I honestly don't know if at this point, if I passed by this church and saw this random SWAT team person, because like I said earlier, I don't know about authentic gear. I wouldn't be able to clock that. So if I passed by and I saw this person by themselves, I say that it doesn't make sense, but thinking about myself driving by in that moment, I honestly probably wouldn't call a non-emergency number or anything. Because...
Right.
Why? Like, it would be really... Like, if I did, I would feel really stupid about it. I'd be like, yeah, there's, like, a single SWAT team member. I heard it was a team, a task force, so why is Brad out here by himself? Is everything okay?
What the fuck is up with you and Brad's, man? Brad's come up every episode.
I feel like it's a really good stereotypical name that I have no connection to.
I know a guy named Brad. He was an old manager of mine at Disney. I totally don't think he listens, but I loved Brad. He was so awesome.
Is Brad the one that collected your presents from me?
No, that was Virgil. Virgil got married recently. I love him too. Brad wrote me the sweetest note ever in my like goodbye book thing. For those of you who don't know, a lot of people when they do Disney college programs, like at least in merchandise, you would get a notebook and put it next to like our time clock and get people to like write you notes before you left. And Brad, I was really, really, really into pop punk at the time. And Brad in my journal, like he wrote me this super sweet note and then he wrote, P.S. keep pop punk alive. So I'm sorry, Brad, I'm no longer keeping pop punk alive, but thank you for your sweet note.
It's 4 years alive ago. In her heart. So that's what matters the most, right, Brad? If you're listening.
Yeah, he's dope. I love him.
But yeah, I don't have any connections to a Brad. So it's, and I don't like the word Chad. Like, I don't like Chad. Like,
I also like- know a Chad that I worked with at Disney, and he is the greatest. So Chad and Brad, Disney homies.
So a lot of people actually speculate that maybe the disguise was solely to throw Missy off, possibly to have her not be afraid of this person, just like she's casually encountering a law enforcement officer and would be trusting of him.
I would definitely be afraid if there was like not normally a person like that there, and then they were there all of a sudden. That would probably freak me out.
Yeah, I don't really like this theory or whatever you'd call it, because like you just said, in my opinion, it's really weird and hard to believe, because why would this disguise not alarm her? Like, she is a woman.
Especially if we're playing into the thing that, like, maybe it's someone she knew. Mm-hmm. You know, why would they need a disguise?
Yeah. So, like, just thinking about, you know, she's a woman entering a church in the early hours of the morning before the sun is up, and she is expecting to see no one there. Even if this person was wearing a normal police officer uniform, she probably still would have been startled. Like,
or like street clothes, yeah. Like, if you're not, you know, if you're normally the only person there and you see someone, I think you're going to be scared either way. But if you see someone in a SWAT uniform, that would startle me more than someone in street clothes.
Yeah, like, I don't care if I open the door and Steven Tyler of Aerosmith's fame is standing there, I'd be like, whoa, like, dang.
Why did you pull that out of your ass? Steven Tyler. Do you like him? Is that a thing?
No, I'm just thinking of, like, just, like, the most oddball thing. But, like, still, like, if I randomly, if I was, like, in a restaurant or something, I would be like, oh, Steven Tyler is over there eating. That's cool. But if I walked into an empty church and just found him standing there, I'd be like, yo, Steve, like, chill, like, you just scared me. So yeah, I don't know.
I'd be like, hey Steve, don't you have a show to get to, you know, like Rock and Roller Coaster?
Could you offer me some backstage passes, perhaps?
Super stretch limo.
People that listen to this and don't know anything about Disney probably really hate us just because of, like, the weird references and then also just incessant Disney talk, like, right before we just, you know, did that. But anyway.
We're quirky.
You know, like, there's a TikTok sound going around right now that's like, Disney adults are the worst humans. They're worse than horse girls. They're worse than car guys.
Okay, full offense. No one is ever going to be worse than car guys. I stan horse girls before I stan car guys. And that's saying something.
I have to calm myself down from thinking about Steven Tyler in the corner of this church.
Oh my gosh.
I hate myself.
That would be scary. Because, like, he's the last person you would expect to see there.
But once you realized it was him, you would be like, oh my gosh, Steven Tyler, why?
I'd be like, yeah, he's probably not going to hurt me, but I'm fucking confused.
Yeah, so like you said, even a person that, like, Steven Tyler, whatever, I'm funny and annoying. Even a normal person
in street clothes. He's definitely weird, but I like him.
Like, and I use the example of a police officer, just like a typical one with their face showing and they're not, like, in full, you know, like, scary, like, I'm gonna rush into your house gear. Like, the idea here is that they dressed up as law enforcement because they knew it wouldn't scare her. That's stupid because they picked the scariest law enforcement to dress up as.
That's true. That is pretty true.
This all really leads into the whole outfit thing being for the sake of if they were possibly spotted by someone outside other than Missy, like I talked about earlier.
And I guess, yeah. And maybe for the purposes of, I don't know if this person would have known that the church had security cameras or not. But even in 2016, security cameras are commonplace. So I would imagine they, you know, had an inkling, bare minimum, that there would be cameras. So my guess is that's what that's for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of an excessive disguise solely for a security camera.
I hate to say it this way, though, and just be super blunt about it, but it worked. So,
oh, 100% it worked. I guess, I don't know, I guess it makes it easier to hide your mannerisms when you're in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just so, like, I just keep wanting to say the word excessive. Because,
yeah,
especially considering, like, I don't want to be crude, but she probably died pretty quickly, mm-hmm. like you've said. So it's just interesting to think about, like, why would you put all of that on just for a disguise when you probably knew that this woman was not going to be able to defend herself against you very well? You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like it came from a protection standpoint. Or maybe this person is fucking nutso and was like, I'm going to have a standout with the police. I need Kevlar. But also they didn't. I don't even know. It's, like, so crazy because it's, like, did they have a gun on them? Like, there's so much that I want to speculate about, but, like, literally can't because we know so little.
Yeah, so this perfectly leads into the next theory about the clothing choice, which is that maybe this person had some sort of fantasy that they were playing out with their SWAT team gear.
Yeah, some weird, fucked up, you know, perception of themselves.
Yeah, and the idea being that they were already needing to cover their face anyway, and they liked the idea of being dressed up as this SWAT team person, whether it was, like, about power or if they had some weird obsession with law enforcement, you know.
I wonder if my mic just picked up my dog fucking exhaling into the space between the door and the floor. Holy hell. I'm leaving that in because she's fucking obnoxious.
She's waiting. She's like, oh my gosh.
Amy, no, she does this. So because of coronavirus, I've had to do, fun fact, I'm in therapy, full disclosure, I go to therapy every week. I've had to do them, like, virtually now. And I think it was, like, 2 weeks ago. She straight up sat outside my bedroom door, like, the whole time. Like, I opened the door and she was waiting for me.
Aww.
And I felt really bad. So for therapy, she's allowed in the room, but for recording, she's not. So even though she's, like, getting her 10 seconds of fame right now because we're still talking about her.
And she has no idea. I love that.
She wants to come in. I can hear her little feet pattering out there. She needs a nail trim.
The next portion I have in my notes is just something interesting that I feel should be disclosed. A gun was actually found in Missy's car. And it's interesting because this is the type of circumstance one would think it would be wise to have their concealed weapon with them for. Like, if you're the type of person who's going to carry a gun in their vehicle, why aren't you carrying it into a church building when you're a woman by yourself going in early? And this isn't victim blaming, by the way. Like, I don't want this to come across that way. I just think it's a really interesting choice. And it makes me wonder, and this is why I'm bringing it up, it makes me wonder if maybe, really unfortunately, she forgot it in her vehicle that morning. And it makes me wonder how differently things might have played out if she had had her gun on her.
It could have just been a sign that she felt safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, again, with the way that churches are, it she should have been the only person in it, and she should have been able to essentially lock herself in, and had control, like, at that time over who's coming in and out, obviously with the exception of this person breaking in, but she would be able, you know, to be the one to let her students in, that kind of thing. So I think that's honestly probably one of the greatest shames of this case, is that she totally felt safe in this environment. Mm-hmm. It was her job. So I think most people can have the luxury of saying, you know, I feel like I probably won't get murdered when I go to work today. Mm-hmm. So that's just really unfortunate that, and again, it's a church. Like, I'm not religious, but for someone who is, that's a super important place. And this murderer, honestly, is just very violating in that sense.
Yeah, I didn't look into it, but I can imagine how hard it was for the church to come back from that. Like, a murder literally taking place inside of the church.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but I mean, that's got to rock a community too. Like, we mentioned, the population was, what, 28,000 people? Like, that's mm-hmm. not a lot. So, and again, if you're teaching fitness classes at the church, you're probably at least decently involved and know a lot of people in the church. So I'm sure that affected a lot of people in, I mean, when stuff like that happens, I think it's very reasonable to not feel safe or not feel as safe as you used to.
Yeah, and I think the whole conversation about her not bringing her weapon into the church, it does really solidify how safe she felt there. Because people, you know, like, I don't really want to get into the whole gun thing, but people who carry around concealed weapons and that sort of thing.
You don't get a gun not to use it.
Exactly. Goodness gracious. You have it.
Right. Yeah. You don't get a gun not to bring it with you places. You don't get a gun. So I'm going to be completely transparent. My father-in-law has guns, like, not a lot, but a few. And they're super duper locked up in the house. So if something were to happen, I mean, so long as he's home, we would be able to defend ourselves. And that's the reason why he has them. Like, he doesn't have mm-hmm. any, like, fun guns. He doesn't go to the shooting range, like, anything like that. But it definitely, I know in Texas, it's a very big part of the culture. Even, you know, I think most people know that about Texas, that they are kind of fast and loose with their guns.
I don't want to say don't mess with Texas, but, like, that's a thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it makes sense to me why her gun was in her car. And I think it sucks for, like, you know, because all she would have had to do is bring it inside. And
yeah,
maybe things could have been different. But also, you know, I also think it makes sense that, considering she probably didn't anticipate being murdered,
for sure,
she didn't need to bring her gun with her to her workout class.
Yeah. So my notes are kind of all over the place. We love that. But my next little thing to talk about is basically there's evidence that shows the suspect didn't really know what they were doing as far as entering the place, which leads people to believe that this person was really just there to kill Missy, and the whole breaking and entering and possibly staging a burglary was an afterthought. Basically, this person tried to pry open a window first, and the window and what was seen on security cameras, it appears as though this person would not have even been able to fit through the window they tried to open in the first place.
Oh, so they, like, fucked it up and had to do something mm-hmm. else.
And they did this before even trying to pry the door open, which I don't rob places. I'm never going to rob a place, but I would try to open a door before I try to pry open a window, you know?
So the only time I've ever tried to pry open a window was this one time when I was staying at Rachel's house and she was at work and I didn't have a key. and I got locked out. And luckily I made it back in, but I probably looked like a crazy person and or someone breaking in to the house at that time. Luckily, nothing happened. I just got back in the house and text Rachel like, hey, just climbed in through the window. But yeah, fucking weird. Don't know why I brought that up.
It's a good little tidbit about you. So another theory is that this person was a teenager that was just on a vandalism mission, which doesn't really make sense to me because it's super weird and risky to break into a church to vandalize it. Also, why are you walking around aimlessly? Why not quickly check for people in the church and then immediately get down to business? Like, what are you doing? Also, nothing was vandalized, and people were talking about how there were a lot of things just seen in the hallway. If you were a teenager there for the sake of destroying things, there's a bulletin board you could have messed up. There's like a, I think there was like a file holder or something on the desk.
Oh my god, can I tell you something?
Yes.
A friend of mine from high school and one of my ex-boyfriends from high school, they're neighbors, and they used to... I don't want to say break in because they had a key, but I'm pretty sure the key was stolen. They used to break into the church near their house and steal ice cream.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's good.
Yeah, they would steal, good, I think they were like ice cream sandwiches. So it was like very like, and they like to like walk around the church at night and just like look at stuff. It was honestly like, obviously still obviously still inappropriate to for them to do that, but like it was very tame.
Yeah, and imagine the church just being like, dude, like we're kind of short on ice cream sandwiches for youth service. I'm not really sure what's happening. Oh, that's terrible. But yeah, so if this person were breaking in to vandalize it, why didn't they vandalize it? I don't like this
theory. Why didn't they steal some ice cream and some cookies?
Like, if you're not going to destroy things, you have this hammer thing in your hand, girl or boy, whoever, start beating a wall with it. If there's nothing, you know, like, that's just, that just doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. And so the last big theory, obviously, we're all leading up to this, and this is probably what I feel like you most side with or agree with, is that it was a targeted attack.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, unless you were someone that went to the church or knew Missy personally, I don't know how you would have known that she would be there. And again, because there was no, you know, anything taken, what else is the motive?
Interestingly enough, there are a few different rabbit holes within the targeted attack idea. And, but just in a very general sense, this is what I personally believe, that it was some sort of targeted attack, because it just makes the most sense.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, the night before her murder, Missy actually posted an advertisement for her class on her personal Facebook feed. Unless it was a public post and someone was randomly looking her up, then it leads towards it being someone on her Facebook friends list or someone who had access to an account that was friends with her on Facebook. So a spouse, perhaps, that was able to, like, go on their spouse's Facebook and scroll and see that yeah. sort of thing.
That's so fucking weird.
So someone who knew Missy's schedule and knew that she would be there at that time, because if you look back at the timeline, everything happened very quickly. And it's, you know, as if this person was waiting on her. She arrived, they murdered her, and then they quickly left because they knew they would need to quickly leave before people started to arrive for her class. I think that's really important to note, because if you had no idea that this class was happening at like 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe you would stay there and try to clean things up, you know? You wouldn't just yeah. immediately run away.
Yeah. I mean, I also feel like this person probably knew that she was going to get found quickly. Just, I just feel like they had to have known at least a little bit how her schedule worked and how the church was running at that time.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to note that I personally think that this person got really, really lucky that no one decided to show up extra early, because at least, you know, like...
Oh, they totally could have walked in on it, yeah.
Yeah, the churches I've been in and just, like, Southern people in general, it doesn't seem odd to think that there would be a random person who would come in with, like, breakfast for Missy and say, oh, let me help you set up. That sort of thing that could have easily happened.
Or, like, depending on, you know, maybe the church had a preschool and someone came in early to set that up. Like,
yeah,
you don't know. A lot of preschool, a lot of churches have, like, preschools and daycares like that. So it's just, I'm so confident that this person knew she was going to be found.
Yeah, and I find it kind of odd that nobody caught a glimpse of this person leaving the church.
I mean, they would have had to have killed her very quickly in order to get out without being seen. Because yeah. I'm guessing there's not a whole lot of time between when she gets there and when her students get there.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, it really feels like they knew. They were waiting, they committed the murder, and then they left literally as fast as they could so they wouldn't be spotted. But I think now is a perfect time to talk about the initial suspects for this case before I continue talking about this whole targeted attack thing. The first initial suspects were Missy's husband and also her father-in-law. So her husband, Brandon Bevers, was actually ruled out because he was away on a fishing trip 600 miles away at the time of her murder. I also think it's really important to note that I read a few various things about alleged marital issues. Something about Missy possibly flirting with men online and having online correspondences with them, and that led to them having some sort of marital problem. Her father-in-law, Randy Bevers, was also considered a suspect, like I said. And I didn't get a lot of information on this, but apparently there was some sort of drama with him. I don't know if it was connected to her alleged flirting with men online, but apparently she had some sort of alleged beef with her father-in-law. And he was ruled out because he was out of state in California with his wife at the time of Missy's murder. To me, it seems really odd that these two accused family members both just so happened to be out of town at the time of the murder.
That is interesting.
So, one theory about this whole targeted attack is that it was actually a hired hitman of sorts, not necessarily a super smart or skilled one. Why are you laughing?
It's just funny. Stupid yeah. Hitman.
But one that would get the murder done nonetheless. And so her husband and father-in-law made sure he was out of town, or made sure they were out of town while this was going to be going down, and they would have an alibi.
I don't know how I feel about that.
And I say not super smart very loosely, because clearly this person got away with it. So like, but just the weirdness and kind of like,
Hitmen tend to be, I don't want to use the word polished, but
yeah,
polished.
There's that. I think that's a really interesting one. But some people believe it was a stalker, someone who had her on social media. Maybe they had even taken a class with her before, and that is how they gained access to her social media. For me, though, it doesn't really make sense for this person to want to kill her. I found nothing on any suspicious people wanting her attention and her not giving them the attention they wanted, which is, you know, what makes a lot of stalkers kill
right.
their stalkies. And she has no notable enemies where it would make sense for this person to be stalking her in a bad way. All stalking is bad, but you know what I mean? Like, they're an enemy stalking her. So there are also theories that this person was some kind of maintenance staff for the church, like a janitor or a custodian of some sort, who would know about Missy's scheduled class, But that doesn't really make sense for a motive unless it was just someone who wanted to murder just to be murdering someone.
And they wouldn't have had to break into the building if it was someone that worked there. They would have had a key.
Yeah, but that kind of leads to, if you are a custodian or a janitor who wants to do this, you should stage it so people aren't going to point fingers. Like you just said, oh, well, Bob the janitor has a key, so why would he do it? Meanwhile, like, Bob's like, nah, heh, heh, I faked it. You know? I don't know. But yeah, so, like I was saying, it doesn't really make sense for a motive there unless this person who worked for the church just so happened to be someone who wanted to murder someone just to be murdering someone. And they found that person in Missy because they could easily plan around her schedule and her early morning arrival to the church. Also, having that connection to the church would lead to maybe them having access to her schedules, her scheduled class, and all of that stuff without actually being on her social media or being a person of interest in her life in the case, you know. So the last and final pathway I'm going to go down is probably the most interesting one, and I feel like this is the one you are going to get the biggest kick out of, Rachel. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Some people believe it was the wife or the girlfriend of the man that Missy was flirting with through text messages.
I think I remember this theory. I don't know. I still feel weird about this whole feminine energy vibe thing. So I don't know. And also you would think, like, I don't know. Women just don't like to get their hands dirty like that, especially in that situation. You know, like in Texas, I don't know. I just have the thought that if it was, you know, the wife of someone she'd been flirting with, they would, like, the wife would tell someone else to kill her. I don't know.
Seems yeah. Weird. I don't know. I don't live in Texas. If you are a Texan listening to this, I feel like it's, I don't know, that's a very messy way of getting rid of your guy's side chick. But
100%.
I was going to say Texas, though. I feel like it's more or less like, I'm going to befriend her and, like, let's have lemonade and bake cookies and, like, I'm going to poison her or something. But, like, maybe I'm just living in, like, ye olden. Again, Texan TV shows, they're, like, wearing, like, big, like, Civil War dresses. And they're like, yes, lemonade. But, so, with this theory, it's super interesting to me because some sources actually say that the woman of that was married or, like, with this, like, alleged main man, or if it was just one man, that this lady actually had broken one of her ankles a few weeks before Missy's murder. So that adds up with the unusual gait that was caught on the videos. Also, there are some people that are saying that this specific woman owns a gun range and had access to the type of tactical gear that the suspect is seen wearing because of their gun range.
You would think a person like that would be smart enough to not do things that would come back to them. That's my only thought.
Yeah. But it makes sense for the no actual robbery, no vandalism beyond the window and the door used to get in, and just this person coming in to specifically kill Missy and then leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of my notes. That's that on that. What are your thoughts?
Wow. Definitely someone that knew her. I don't feel confident in saying their gender for sure, but I don't know. I feel like it had to have been targeted, and I hope that someday, for her family's sake and for her sake, that they can get her some kind of closure and justice, because the way that it seems now, it seems a little unlikely.
Yeah, I hate cases that don't have a resolution and feel like they should. Not that there are any cases that shouldn't have a resolution, but just the whole concept of this person being caught on surveillance video and it being so close to when the class started. It just, I don't know. I don't like it. I wish there were more that could be done, but I guess if there are no prints or DNA and this person's, you know, completely covered on the tape, then...
I know, it's a shame. Like, law enforcement really doesn't have a lot to work with.
Yeah, so on the Instagram post, I just feel like, I don't know, I'm going to do this with the cold cases I cover. Is this a cold case? I don't know. I don't know what constitutes a cold case. But I will post the police department that dealt with this in case you're listening to this. I don't know. And you have some sort of connection and you're like, wow, Angel's beautiful voice makes me want to go talk to them about this. I'll provide that, you know, maybe. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about.
No, it's good. It's good. Do it.
All the big kid podcasts do it, so I'm gonna do it.
Yes.
But yeah, that's that. On the IG post, tell us what you think. What theory do you think fits the best? Even if in this episode we completely called what you believe in stupid, tell us. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah, our Instagram handle is the same as our Twitter handle, which is @SweepAndReap. We're also over on Facebook. You can search Sweepers and Reapers Podcast, same as our name. And if you enjoy the podcast, number one, you can shoot us a Gmail, sweepersandreaperspod@gmail.com. But if you could leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening, it helps us out a bunch. We want to get recommended to your friends and your family and people you don't know, and leaving us a 5-star review helps. So that would be super awesome. thank you so much for all your hard work on this episode. I loved going down the rabbit hole with you. And yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.